Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed. And we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all heart, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
And you are listening to Revolutionary Life,
right here on Blog Talk Radio. Revolutionary Life is here on Blog Talk Radio every week, day, night. We're here from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Every night, weekday night, Monday through Friday, we present materials that of interest, things that affect our lives every day. The difference here at this podcast is that we address those things from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution is just change. And change is going down right now, folks. So we try to keep our fingers on the pulse around here because a revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of change. Change is inevitable. Change is constant. If there's one thing in this world that's constant, what is it, guys? It's change. The reactionary tries to hold back change. That's a futile attempt. Just slows up progress. The reactionary holds back change or tries. Revolutionary wants to be on the vanguard of change because you're on the front of change when it goes down. You might have something to say about how it's shaped when it lands. If you're on the ass end of change, you probably won't have much to say about anything. Welcome to Revolutionary Life. Tonight on Revolutionary Life, our topic for tonight is war. Oh, yeah. War. Violent. War. And it's called the next war. That's what the title says. The next war. And the unprovoked attack. And I put that in quotes, guys. The next war, as part of a series on war, because I need to get you guys ready, because there's going to be another war. History says there must be. And so let's see. Let's work it out. So the next war is this topic. And it may be the topic for a couple of other presentations around this subject. But tonight, we're going to explore the unprovoked attack. War and the unprovoked attack is what we're going to address tonight. The unprovoked attack, ladies and gentlemen. You remember, unprovoked attack sent us straight to war. But that wasn't even the beginning, guys. Oh, no, 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 no. You send your children to war, and you've gone to war, and you supported wars. Forever, they're told and sold were based on unprovoked attacks, and nobody likes to be provoked. Nobody likes an attack when you haven't provoked anyone. No one likes to be attacked and you haven't done anything. Why would you attack me and I haven't done anything to you? Oh, that gets people angry. Why would you do that? An unprovoked attack engenders anger, things like that, resentment, revenge, setting the record straight. You attacked us and we didn't do anything to you. You're in the wrong for that. You have to pay for that. Somebody has to pay for that. Tonight, guys, we're going to talk about the next war. Under the topic of the next war, we're going to talk tonight about the unprovoked attack, which is literally, oftentimes, let's put it that way, frequently, oftentimes, the reason for war. The reason you have been told, the reason you've been rallied around a war is the unprovoked attack. Did you know that? Did you realize that? You will tonight. You will. If you listen to our broadcast tonight, you may have a different tack on that. But let's see. Guys, let's talk to real. Let's get real here about war. Let's get real here about this concept, that we're putting forth here called the unprovoked attack. As a start of war, as a reason for going to war, the unprovoked attack. I wasn't messing with you. Why you come messing with me? You deserve what you get. I didn't do anything to you, and then you attacked me? Oh, Americans get angry about that kind of stuff, right? The unprovoked attack. Mm-hmm. You don't mess with somebody, they ain't messing with you. If you do, you get what you ask for. The unprovoked attack. Oh, yeah. You love the unprovoked. The unprovoked attack moves you. And they know it, dude. They know it. They know it. And so, tonight, let's talk about it, guys. Tonight, let's see what I'm talking about here. What's this about? The unprovoked attack. Well, I'm going to start out by reminding everyone that all our shows are archived. And if you're on my website, you can see all of our previous shows. And one of our previous shows were a show on war, conquest, and enslavement. In fact, that's the name of it. That's its title, War, Conquest, and Enslavement. And in that presentation, I generally go through the history of some of the wars in the world, but also I relate them to civilization building. And turns out my public education, through my public education, it turns out that I was able to list a long list of wars that we've been involved in, that the world has been involved in, and how all of them, in relationship to building great civilizations in the European world, and that's what I was taught about in school, the European world, and the European world history, starting from the Greek, and oftentimes my European history goes all the way back to the Greeks, Socrates and Plato, you know. And then we came forward from the Greeks. It turns out all Western European civilizations were built by war, conquest, and enslavement. Then the West, the United States. What's now the United States? War, conquest, and enslavement built this civilization. Did it not? Of course it did. The Civil War, the Native American, the Indian Wars, the Mexican-American Wars, war built this nation. Conquest of the Native people built this nation. Enslavement of Africans and Native people of this country built this nation. Just like it built Greece. Just like it built Rome. Just like it built the British Empire. That's public school education. You might know better. This is a call-in show. And so tonight, guys, once I put this presentation forward, I'm going to open up my lines and we're going to talk about it. I will announce the call-in section, of course, and then I will open up my chat room, of course, and I think I'll just throw my chat room open now because, guys, I'm opening my chat room early, before the call-in section, simply because in the last week, we had several instances where my voice was cut off, just cut off. I was still online. I still had power, all that good stuff. Except I wasn't broadcasting. And that's kind of frustrating at the end when you realize that nobody heard what you said. Anyway, so guys, if I lose my voice, if you lose the sound tonight, if you lose a connection tonight, if you're listening to our program and all of a sudden I go quiet, hit me up in the chat. Say, I can't hear anything. Or something like that. Let me know. You have to let me know because on this side, the software says I'm online, I'm on air, I'm streaming, the clock is ticking, everything's cool. But it wasn't last week. It looks like it, but it wasn't. So I'm opening up my chat now. And if I don't address comments in the chat right now, that's because we're not in our call-in section. But certainly, if you lose my voice or my connection, please feel free to jump in that chat and say, hey, we can't hear a word you're saying. We can't hear anything. Sound is gone. Something like that. Just let me know what's going on. All right. Thank you. And so tonight, guys, we're going to get started on war. And I want you to think about the concept I laid out, unprovoked attack, because we're going to roll with that. And let's see if that wakes anybody up. The unprovoked attack. I'm going to give you a little music, guys. I want you to think about that subject matter. And when I come back, we're going to roll with it. Give me just a moment. Just a moment. I'll be right back. Listening to Revolutionary Life. Remember that we're here every weekday night from Monday through Friday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. daylight saving times, whatever. The topic tonight is the next war and the unprovoked attack. Guys, you remember World War One? Yeah, that was two world wars that you remember. World War One, World War Two, when the whole, seems like the whole world was at war. Everybody sides, almost everybody chose sides and went to war against each other based on that. The unprovoked attack. Now, what started World War One? It happened over in Europe. Didn't have anything to do with you, the United States, or an American. However, we ended up getting into that war and World War One. Didn't start with us, but we got into that war. And the American people were sold on getting into that war based on, guess what? An unprovoked attack. That's right. The reason we lost sons and daughters in World War One is because we answered what we were told was an unprovoked attack. We were attacked. America was attacked. And we didn't provoke anybody. We weren't doing anything. We had our hands in our pockets. We were going about our business. And boom, we got attacked. You know what I mean? That's an unprovoked attack. 9/11. You remember that? These are unprovoked attacks. They come out of nowhere, it seems. Well, the unprovoked attack that got us into World War One was the sinking of one of our merchant ships. The merchant ships, the one that carries merchandise on them. Not a warship, a merchant ship. Now, the merchant ship was called Lusitania, the Lusitania. And it was sunk by a German submarine, U-boats, they were called, because they could go down underwater and come back up. U-boats. German submarine shot down and sunk an American merchant ship. Unprovoked attack. America was angry. We went to war in World War One along with Europe, who were already at war when we got there. That unprovoked attack, y'all, was not unprovoked at all. It was a provoked attack. World War One, our participation in World War One, started from a provoked attack. Now, I could talk to you about the history of World War One and how it started in Europe, but how we got involved was an unprovoked attack. Oh, yeah. How we got involved, that the Germans attacked us when we weren't doing nothing to them. Well, that was a lie. Those who know that history know that Lusitania, the merchant ship that was sunk by the Germans that caused us to go to war, was carrying war munitions to the enemies of the Germans. And we thought that that was okay, that we supplied the Germans' enemies weapons. We didn't think that was a good idea to watch us taking weapons and goods to their enemy. So they asked us to stop. That was Lusitania One. Yeah, that was more than one ship called Lusitania, guys. The Germans warned us about that. We're at war, they said, with that country. If you continue to send them guns and supplies, we're going to stop your ships from coming to that country. We sent Lusitania to field with war materials for the enemies of Germany. And Germany blew that sucker out of the water like it said it would. It was anything but an unprovoked attack. We were warned that you are supplying our enemies, Germany said, with weapons and munitions. of all kinds against us. And if you don't want to be part of this war, quit sending ships of equipment to our enemies, or we will stop you at sea. And we sent another ship, brazenly, Lusitania II, and it was blown out the water just like the Germans said it would. And we would have done the same thing. We would have captured a ship. If we didn't blow it out of the water, we would at least capture a ship if it was taking weapons to our enemies, who were supplying our enemies, wouldn't we? That got us into World War I, Lusitania II, and supposedly an unprovoked attack made America angry. Why would they hit one of our merchant ships? It's not a warship. Why do you attack our merchant ship? It's just got merchandise on it. Yeah, well, that merchandise was weapons for the enemies of the Germans. And when the Germans warned us after Lusitania I, the Germans warned us, don't keep sending weapons to our enemies or we're going to stop you at sea before you land. We sent another ship anyway, and it was blown out of the water. And America was told, oh, we just had an innocent merchant ship out there, and they just blew it out of the water. That was an unprovoked attack. We didn't do nothing to Germany. Why would they attack us? That's why. We were supplying their enemies, and they warned us not to. And we ignored that warning. You didn't know that. You just thought the Germans decided to bring us into the war by attacking our ships. World War I, guys, the first, one of the first, only one of the many unprovoked attacks that led us to war. Guys, before that, that was a revolutionary struggle going on in Cuba. You see, the little island of Cuba was a possession of Spain, of the country of Spain, a colony of Spain. And the United States said, we can come down there and help y'all fight Spain. Because, you know, we fought for our independence from being a colony. The American Revolution was a revolution against a king. We were a colony. 13 colonies. To be a country, we had to fight for our independence. And that's why we have the 4th of July as a celebration. It was a war of independence. Well, Cuba was fighting a war of independence against the Spanish. And we decided that we'd help them out. Sounds noble. We fought one, too. Maybe we should support other people who are fighting to remove the yoke of colonialism from their necks, the feet of colonialism off their necks. So we kicked King James off our neck. And now in Cuba, they was trying to kick the Spanish off their necks as a colony of Spain. And so we said we could help. Now, American people weren't interested in getting into another war. How do you get the population to support that? Well, guess what happened, guys? A Spanish ship moored, parked in the Havana Harbor of Cuba, Havana Harbor, blew up, just blew up. The San Francisco Chronicle, the United States newspapers, and starting with the San Francisco Examiner, the Hearst family. You remember Patty Hearst? I don't know. The Hearst family, I don't know if you remember that wealthy family that owned the San Francisco Chronicle. They put out an article that said that the U.S. ship, a U.S. ship in Havana Harbor was attacked by a torpedo. sent by the Spanish to blow up our ship. Now, our ship was just a merchant ship filled with grain, and it was just sitting in the harbor, not messing with anybody. And then the Spanish are going to come along and just blow us out of the water? That's an unprovoked attack. So we went to war. The Spanish-American War. Teddy Roosevelt. You remember Teddy Bear? You remember Teddy Roosevelt, Theodore? You remember the charge of San Juan Hill? Have you heard of that? This was the Cuban Revolution. This was the Cubans trying to throw the Spanish off of them. They no longer wanted to be a colony. They wanted to do like we did, throw off their colonial masters and become their own country, independent. And so we went down there to help them because now the Spanish has attacked us and the American public is now supporting our efforts in Cuba, our military going to Cuba. And we funded a military into Cuba to fight the Spanish based on that attack in Havana Harbor of an American ship that was just sitting there minding its own business. Well, the San Francisco Examiner article that told you that we got attacked lied. Yes, it lied. History says it lied. History says that ship blew up. Yeah. The American merchant ship blew up in Havana Harbor. Oh, yeah. But it didn't blow up from some Spanish ship shooting a torpedo at it. That was a lie. You don't know, anybody who lived on a farm know that a grain silo, a big silo that you store grain in, corn, wheat, if it gets wet inside, the grains will begin to grow, germinate, they call it. They got water. If water gets on that grain, it might start to grow. It might start to germinate. And if it does, it builds up heat when it does that and starts to expand. Every seed starts to expand and it'll blow a hole in a silo. If you lived in the country and you had a silo full of grain, you knew if it got wet in there, it was just a matter of time before it busted the side of that silo wide open. And this is exactly what happened to the ship in Havana Harbor. The grain, it was sitting there in the harbor. The grain got wet and blew out the side of the ship. Now, the San Francisco Chronicle, who claimed it was a Spanish torpedo that unprovoked attacked, was from a Spanish torpedo. Lied to you. And you went to war. You funded and supported a Spanish-American war. That's right. There are stories, guys. You can look it up. There was reporters that the San Francisco Chronicle sent to Cuba to check out what's going on with the Spanish-American War. And the reporter came back and said, there is no war. Spanish did not attack us. We do have a ship blowed up down here, but there's no indication that it was attacked by a Spanish ship. The story goes, guys, that the Hearst newspaper editor said, you send me the pictures and I'll create the war. So we got pictures of a blowed up ship from a San Francisco Chronicle reporter, a San Francisco Examiner reporter. And the Hearst newspaper, the San Francisco Examiner, said we were hit by a torpedo. That was a lie. It was not an unprovoked attack. It wasn't an attack at all. It was a reason to go to war, and you supported it because you thought we got hit. We weren't doing anything to anybody. World War II, you remember that, the 40s? World War II, guys. (Clears throat) another war we didn't start and we wasn't a part of. How did we get in there then? An unprovoked attack. You see, we were going about our business, minding our own business, staying out of other folks' business. And sure enough, the Japanese decided just out of the blue one day to come over here to Hawaii and bomb Pearl Harbor. Just out of the blue. They just woke up one morning and said, you know what? America is not in this war. Why don't we get them in? We're having a hard enough time beating the British and the French. Why don't we add the United States as another enemy to us? I don't think that was their idea. But they attacked us in Pearl Harbor, the Japanese, and got us into World War II. Of course we were going to World War II. They attacked us. We didn't do nothing to Japan. We wasn't in that war. Why would they come over here and attack us? For nothing. For no reason. Unprovoked. The fact that there was a story that leads to the concept that the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor and got us into World War II unprovokedly is a lie. Now, that's been proven also, guys. No, the Japanese were over here. We had ambassadors from Japan in this country at the time of World War II, at the time we entered that war. Just before we entered that war, we had the ambassador of Japan had an office right here in the United States. What happened? No, you know what happened. If you know that history, you know that we came down on Japan economically. Now, they're at war over there in Europe. Oh, yeah, they're at war. We weren't at that. We wasn't at war over there. We were at peace. But the Japanese, who needed oil for their planes and whatnot, found that they were cut off by the United States in the South Pacific, Hawaii, Guam, all them little islands down there, needed that oil, and they didn't understand why we would embargo them. Unless we were on the other side. We brought the Japanese. We didn't bring the Japanese. We were brought in that war by our warlike behavior toward Japan, the Emperor of Japan. And as long as they couldn't get that oil, I guess they decided that nobody would have it. And they attacked those bases. Not the military. That wasn't what they were after. No, guys, you got to read the history. Those barrels of oil that they destroyed, that they were out to destroy. Running into kamikaze, dropping the bombs on a couple of U.S. ships in Hawaii, couldn't put a dent in the U.S. Army, the military. We still had an Air Force. We still got armies around the world. We had armies all over the place. Just bombing some military base in Hawaii was not going to cripple the United States militarily. Shit, all of our shit wasn't in Hawaii. No. Should we had military bases all around this country. We got plenty. They wasn't trying to cripple us militarily. They didn't land troops to take over the U.S. They attacked the oil fields. Gotcha. Storage. But we call it an unprovoked attack. Nobody knew what was going on diplomatically except the people in charge. We didn't. You didn't. We didn't know that we was making these people angry on purpose. And so they finally decided that we was taking a side in this war and denying them access to the Pacific and the oil there they needed. Now, World War II was not an unprovoked attack. We went to war in Vietnam when I was a kid. We were in Vietnam at war when I was a kid. Now, I want to stop right there because I want to let you know that as long as I've been alive, this country has been in wars, in and out of wars. Before I was born, we were in and out of wars. Spanish-American War, Indian War, Mexican-American War, Civil War. That was wars long before I was born. But through the time I've lived on this earth, we were at war. Korean War in the 50s. And then the 60s come along. Next thing you know, we're in Vietnam. We're in Southeast Asia fighting the French war. The French, the Vietnamese, used to belong to some place called French Indochina. Yeah, Vietnam wasn't just Vietnam. Oh, no, no. It was owned. It was a colony. Just like we were. It was a colony of France, Cambodia, Laos, Kampuchea, that is, Laos, Vietnam, were all part of something called French Indochina. Why was it called French Indochina? Because it was ran and owned and colonized. And colonized and oppressed, as all colonies are. The reason we had a colonial war, a war of independence from being a colony. The Vietnamese wanted a war of independence. Ho Chi Minh, Uncle Ho. Ho Chi Minh was a Vietnamese who studied at the Sorbonne in France. He was educated in France at the French University of Sorbonne. He went to, after World War I, when they had a big armistice and stopped the war, he showed up at a conference there of all the nations and asked for the independence of Vietnam. That was just after World War I. So we're talking 1918. Vietnam had been asking for its independence from France. France refused to let it go. There's too much to be pulled out of that place to go back to France, to make France great as a colony, that it refused to allow Vietnam to be an independent country. Just like England refused to let us be an independent country. And instead of us joining the Vietnamese in a fight to be independent, we joined the colonists, the French, in their fight to keep them a colony. How about that? We flipped the strip. Oh, yeah, we fought against a colonial ruler, Britain. We were 13 colonies of Great Britain, and we fought for our independence. We had to fight with guns, 4th of July, to win our independence from a colonial master. And so the Vietnamese said, we want our independence from my colonial master, France. Our country, the United States, did not join them in that struggle for their independence. And as a matter of fact, we went against their independence. And we went in to help France continue to colonize French Indochina, Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam. And thus, we had the Vietnamese War. The Vietnamese War started without us. Why did we get involved? How did we get involved? How did the American people agree to fund a war in Vietnam? Guys, we suffered an unprovoked attack. That's how. We were attacked and we weren't doing anything to anybody. We had our hands in our pocket going about our business. And the Vietnamese, this little country, fighting desperately against the French colonizers to be independent the same way we did, fighting for their independence. This country, France wasn't big enough for them, I guess. So this country decided to bring America into the war against them. That didn't make sense, does it? This little war of independence country fighting for its independence decided to go and attack America just on general principle. But they say they did. But they'd say they did. But the newspapers say they did. The American newspaper said they did. The American newspaper said that had a ship parked in Vietnam and we were attacked by the Vietnamese. Our ship was attacked by the Vietnamese one night. We didn't do anything to the Vietnamese. Why would they attack us, one of our ships? Well, later in history, we find out that they did not attack us. The truth is out now. As the truth comes out, guys, we have to rearrange our way of thinking, don't we? So the truth came out that the Vietnamese did not attack an American ship. That was a lie. That was a lie you were told, that we had suffered an unprovoked attack. Again, we suffered an unprovoked attack. And you know how Americans hate to be messed with when we ain't messing with nobody. Why you come over here messing with us? So we hate an unprovoked attack. So they gave us one. They told us that one night the Vietnamese attacked one of our ships. Unprovoked. That was a lie. Never happened. The captain of that ship is in the newspaper. Picture of him and everything. Saying that did not happen. The Vietnamese never attacked us. But we got into that war, and that war lasted year after year after year. Took lives of American soldiers year after year after year. Injured, killed. Because we went into a war based on an unprovoked attack that did not happen. World War I, World War II, Vietnam War, the Spanish-American War. An unprovoked attack, ladies and gentlemen. Get ready for the next war. And how will the next war come? Five will get you 10. I'll bet you dollars to donuts. My dollars to your donut. The next war, and there will be a next war. We've been in one since I was born. We were in them before I was born. I don't think a 10-year period has gone by without us entering a new war. And so, the next war, keep your eyes open for the unprovoked attack. Oh, yeah. Somebody's going to do something to us unjustly. Who is it? Is it going to be China? Are we going to have a confrontation with China? Is China going to do something to us unprovoked? And we're going to be forced to retaliate? Will it be Russia? Will we suffer an unprovoked attack from Russia? Would it be Iraq from the Middle East? Will we suffer an unprovoked attack? But keep your eyes open, ladies and gentlemen. History says we got another war coming. History says that the way to get you involved and supportive is to present you with an unprovoked attack. 9/11 was the most recent unprovoked attack. We were going about our business. We wouldn't bother nobody. And then all of a sudden, boom, 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 our Twin Towers get hit in New York. Unprovoked. We're going about our business. We ain't said nothing. We ain't hurt nobody. We ain't doing nothing to nobody. And then we're going to get hit. Yeah, we mad. Yeah, we got to retaliate. That's how they get you. So here's another. Here's something to keep your eyes open for, guys. An unprovoked attack is coming, says history. And it's going to lead us into another war. And no matter what the real reason for that war is. Now, when I say the real reason, guys, there's a lot of people out here listening to me tonight that are thinking of the military-industrial complex. They're thinking about how much money Raytheon and General Dynamics makes from war. And they are knowing that when there is no war, these guys ain't making that kind of money no more. And so it behooves them to support another war. You know, when you shoot a bullet, you got to make another one. There's a lot of economic activity when there's a war. Because you got to supply the troops, right? So Raytheon makes missiles. If ain't nobody shooting no missiles, how are they going to make money? Government contracts. They got government contracts for 1,000 tanks. Well, we're not in a war. What do we need with 1,000 tanks? Oh, just in case. And so they sit there and rust. But we pay for them. Some of y'all already know that the military-industrial complex will push war for economic reasons. But let's get back to your reason for supporting those wars. You don't know about the economics involved. Maybe you missed that. All you know is that some Iranians or some Iraqis or Saddam Hussein, which was ignorant, or the imam in Iraq attacked us unprovoked. So we finna go to war, y'all. We got to. Somebody hit us and we wasn't doing nothing to them. We're justified, right? Watch. Heads up. That's all this is about. Heads up, guys. History says that we got another war coming. And that just as sure as the economy starts to fall down, the Dow Jones, utilities, industries start to slow down because they don't have them government contracts that comes with war. Then you're going to see the unprovoked attack. Get ready for it. May not be another 9/11. It may be something totally different. Oh, but history says it's coming. History says you're going to be told and you're going to be sold that we were attacked while we were minding our own business. Wouldn't mess with nobody. And we don't like that. You know what, guys? The next war might be a space war. You never know. Aliens. We got a space army now. Did you know that? We got an Air Force. We got NASA. But now we got an armed force, a branch of the armed forces known as the Space Force. That's right. In the last 2 years, we put together a space force for war in space, I guess. Why do we need a space force, guys? Where's that threat coming from? Now, we have a armed forces, air, water, Navy, Air Force, ground, infantry. We got all that covered. But what we failed to cover, I guess, is attacks or wars in space, I imagine. That's why we have to create a new branch of the military referred to as a space army. What's that about? I don't know where this next war is coming from, guys. But history says there will be another one. History says 10 years can't go by without them. History says when the economy starts to fall, inflation starts to rise, we go to war. Get the American people to support that war. Oftentimes, we have an unprovoked attack that angers us. So I want you to keep your eyes open. You're finna be told and sold, according to history. Sooner or later, you're gonna be told and sold on a brand new war. Maybe it's China. Maybe it's Russia. Now, I said maybe it's Russia, because I'm gonna tell you something. Of all the wars and stuff that I've seen in my lifetime, it wasn't until last year that I saw more Russians up in our business, up in the business of America. It's politics, it's White House. I see more Russian participation, behavior, and interaction than I've seen in all my life. When I was a kid, Russia was an enemy of ours. And I wonder, when did that end? When I saw Russians in the Oval Office, and the only reason I saw that is because of a Russian newspaper. It seems as though when the Russians visited our Oval Office at that point, there was no American news outlets there. Only a Russian paper showed a picture of the Russians standing in the White House shaking hands with the president, then President Trump. And if it hadn't have been for the Russian newspaper, I guess we wouldn't have known that meeting had happened. The Secretary of Defense under Trump was in close contact with the Russian embassies. Manafort Manafort was giving election data in the cigar room at the top of the the Trump Towers, giving election data to Russians. I have never seen Russians so deep into our shit in my lifetime. I was wondering, when did they become allies of ours? When they invaded the Ukraine and took over Crimea militarily? Did that endanger them to the United States? Did they become our ally at that point? At what point did they become our ally? Well, let me tell you something. That's difficult for me to understand, since I was raised in a world where Russia was an adversary. I saw an article in the paper today that said China was an adversary. I saw an article that said China was having war games, and they were shooting at a makeshift ship that was looking like, that was fixed up to look like an American ship. Well, I got news for you guys. When we have war games, when when we have exercises, guess who the enemy is? If we the shirts, guess who the skins are? All right. They used to be Russian. Maybe they're Chinese now. But we also do the same kinds of war games. We also practice the same war games where the other side, where we have a troops play the other side and another troop play our side. Well, who do you think the other side is when we play war games? Nicaragua, some central, some small Central South American country, some third world country? No. When we play war games, we are playing war games against the big guys, the Russians, used to be, and the Chinese and the like. We're the shirts, they're the skins when we play games of war. And so China does the same thing. Russia does it. Who do you think is on the opposite side when Russia has war games? Who do you think they're acting like? They're practicing fighting. Third world countries? No. The shirts are the Russians, the skins are us. When they practice war games. Russia is an ally. Russia is all up in our political business. And it's okay. You know, for somebody brought up in the previous era, that's unheard of. Because I'm wondering at what point did Russia endear themselves to us. Because I've been, they were enemies all my life. And to this day, if you can call it a friend, to this day, my understanding is that the Russians' nuclear weapons are programmed at U.S. military bases. Right now, as we speak. And we have missiles programmed at their centers of population. We're going after people, I guess, instead of military bases, but we're aimed at their populations, their large populations. They have missiles aimed at us. Does friends aim missiles at each other? I don't know if the next adversary is going to be Russia. I don't know if it's going to be China. I really don't know if it's going to be Russian because we got this strange relationship now, well, from our last president, that Russia was some kind of buddy of ours, that the leadership of Russia was some kind of friend of our leader. That's new to me, guys. I don't know about y'all, but I wasn't raised in that world where we were buddy-buddy with Russia. But it seems like in the last 2 years, they've engendered themselves to, endeared themselves to us in some kind of way to where they can be coming to the White House and inaugurations and the great and stuff like that. And I don't know. I don't know what they did to change history from being adversaries. Last thing I know they did was invade the Ukraine and took over a part of it called Crimea for themselves, militarily. Did that make them a friend of ours? Is that the move they made? I don't know. So it may not be Russia. We got something strange that's going on there. I mean, something unfamiliar to me going on there. However, it could be China. There's a lot of saber rattling, they call it, going on between the U.S. and China right now. Or it could be space. We just build an army for space, called a space army, a whole department devoted to war in space. I don't know. But you can bet, you can almost bet, if you're a betting person, that you're going to support that war. Your support for that war is going to come from an unprovoked attack. It just seems to be the modus operandi. It just seems to be the mold in which things operate, history says. All right, guys. So that's my point of view on the unprovoked attack, the history of the unprovoked attack, the history of your recruitment into support of wars, and the truth. Good gracious. The depth, the truth, the depth that the truth goes in terms of why wars are fought. It's not really deep at all. I told you, all great civilizations, Western European civilizations, and Arabic civilizations, and Roman civilizations, and Greek civilizations were all built on war, conquest, and enslavement. History says there's going to be another war. And it says you're going to support it, regardless of what the real reasons are, because it's going to come via an unprovoked attack. Now I'm going to give you a little music. And when I come back, I'm opening my lines, and let's see what you think about this subject. I'll be right back. Listening to Revolutionary Life. My name is Gary. I'm your host. And tonight on Revolutionary Life, we've been talking about war. title of the presentation tonight is The Next War and the Unprovoked Attack. What we did tonight was we went over some of the previous wars and we went over some of the previous unprovoked attacks. We use unprovoked attacks, guys, to demonstrate how in each one of these wars that we went over, most of the time we got in them because of an unprovoked attack. Most of these unprovoked attacks that got us to support these wars, it seems like, were lies. That there were no unprovoked attack. But it got you upset. It got people to support the war, going to war. And so, all the way up, and I went back to World War One. I went back fast. I went back to the Spanish-American War and the explosion of the American ship in Havana Harbor. That was a lie, that it was hit by Spanish torpedoes. That was a lie. We went to war based on that lie. The most recent one was 9/11. We were going about our business, wasn't we? And all of a sudden we were attacked. Americans hate unprovoked attacks. And so we were in our right to go back and seek revenge or whatever. Right? And so I don't know how 9/11 went down, guys. I know that there's people with conspiracy theories out there. But I'll tell you this, it was an unprovoked attack. I'll tell you this, it did lead us into a war in Afghanistan. It led us into a war in Iraq. It had nothing to do with 9/11. And so, I warned you that history says there's a new war coming. We haven't gone 10 years without one. And I ask you to watch out for the next unprovoked attack to come down the road as a means to get you to support that war. It's happened before. It was my point. And possibly it will happen again. Keep your eyes open. We're in our call-in section. My lines are open. My phone number, 563-999-3531, is listed there on my site. If you'd like to come on to the air, you can call me. You come directly onto the air. Everybody hears what you have to say, and everybody will hear my response. Also, we have our chat room open. If you have questions, comments, you're welcome to sign into our chat. And leave those questions. I'll be monitoring that chat. And so any questions or comments that come into the chat, I'll be able to respond to. This part of the show, I call it Your Time to Shine. If you have questions, comments, concerns, now's the time to voice them. Let's talk about it. All right. All right. All right. All right. All right.
Oh, the health, your balance. That's right. So we wouldn't allow the spot. We wouldn't allow to have a contact. We would follow each other. But we couldn't have contact competition.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio, guys. Revolutionary Life is here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm your host, Gary, and tonight we've been talking about the war, the next one. History says there will be one. And we've added a little extra piece to that called the unprovoked attack, which is how you get, how your support is gained oftentimes for these wars, history says. And some of these unprovoked attacks are not unprovoked at all. It's just what you've been told and sold. So I ask you to watch out for the next war. Be prepared. History says there will be another one. I ask you to be prepared for the next unprovoked attack. History says that's how it's used. That's how you get involved, how they get your support, why we enter these other wars may have nothing to do with the unprovoked attack, the so-called unprovoked attack. I'll leave that up to the conspiracy theories, but we do have a military-industrial complex. We do have General Dynamics. We do have McDonnell Douglas. We do have Raytheon. We do have people who make weapons for a living, and they make money when there's wars. So, yeah. So maybe some of the conspiracies about the military-industrial complex and the need to always be at war to fund them is legitimate. I'm not in the back rooms, so I don't know what has happened. I've read accounts of military people who said that, yeah, that says that we were fighting for oil and money and land and resources. And I said, oh, that's what all the wars are about. But they said we got into it only because somebody attacked us and we did not provoke them. Not because we're going to get resources. Not because we need it for our economy.
It's happening tonight.
World War III.
West Side Story, rated PG-13, only in theaters.
World War III, guys. Be prepared. The unprovoked attack. Be prepared. It's coming. History says it's coming. Just keep your eyes open. Don't fall for the okey-doke. Find out if the attack was really unprovoked. You have really plenty of reasons to want to ask that question because I just laid out a ton of them, starting from going back to the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, Vietnam War. You have every reason in the world to question an unprovoked attack because there's been so many of them that were just lies. Right? History has shown us that so many of them were just lies that got us into war. History did that, not me. So I got a few more minutes. My lines are still open. My chat room is still open. Questions, comments, concerns, hysterical outbursts, doesn't matter. Put them in my chat. I'll see them. Give me a call and you go straight on to the air. I'm going to give you a little music to think about it, and I'll be right back. It's your time to shine. And you're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Block Talk Radio. We're here every weekday night between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tonight, and I'm your host, Gary. Tonight, we've done a little thing on war and the next war is called. If you missed it, don't forget, all of our programs are archived. That is to say that if you're on my site and you scroll down, you will see an on-demand section. So all of our shows are on demand. If you miss a show, if you're not able to stay for a full show, you can always pick it up in that on-demand section at your leisure, 24/7. You can play those back. And they all have a comment section. So if you comment on any of the old shows, I'll still get that comment. So I find out what you're interested in. On the other hand, we also have a follow button on our site. If you're on our site, you will see a follow button in the upper right-hand corner. And if you click that button, you'll be able to follow us. You'll get a notification when we're live, whenever we go live. Also, there's a share button on our site. That is to say, if you know someone who's interested in the subject, if you belong to a group that's interested in this subject, share this with them. There's a share button just for that on this site. All right? And guys, I'll be here tomorrow night at 7 p.m. to 9 Central Standard Time. And you never know what the subject's going to be, so make sure you hit that follow button so you get a little heads up on what the topic is going to be and when we're going live. All right? I want to thank everybody who listened in for listening in tonight. And I just notify you that we're going to be here tomorrow night. We're going to be here every weekday night. And we'll be here tomorrow night at 7 Central Standard Time. I'd like to see you there. And like I say, hit that follow button because you never know. Sometimes I'll change the topic just based on what's going on out here in the world. All of our topics have to deal with things that affect your life. Oh, yeah, every day. We just look at those things from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution is just change. Reactionaries hold back change. The revolutionary wants to be on the vanguard of change. Change is inevitable. One thing in the universe that's constant is change. Shit's changing right now. We try to keep our fingers on the pulse around here. So, thank you for listening in tonight, guys. Hopefully I'll see everyone tomorrow. Make sure you hit that on-demand section if you missed any of this and you'd like to pick it up later or you weren't able to stay for the whole thing. This show will be in that on-demand section in about an hour after we're done tonight. Thank you again. I hope everybody have a great night, and I'll see you tomorrow night. Let me give you a little music as we go out, and I want to wish you good night. Buenas noches. Buonanotte. Ciao.